Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Greg, for the opportunity. You know, this is a 4th of July weekend, and many months ago, Pastor Greg and Megan had planned to go out of town and be on vacation. And we weren't going to tell you that they were going to be gone. I was just going to come and speak because everyone knows that when the youth pastor comes and speak, no one shows up for that. So we held that from you, and it was on purpose, all right? But Pastor Greg and Megan, this is probably the fourth or fifth vacation that you guys have planned for since I've been here, and you've gotten to go on like one of them. So if there's somebody who needs favor with their vacations, it's the Sanders family for sure. You guys need a vacation. It needs to happen. Yeah, there's been, it said it's coming. There's been several of them that have been canceled because of basically scheduling conflicts. And then obviously this one with COVID, it's just a really, you know, rough time to go on vacation. So sorry that you aren't on your family vacay. Yeah. Sorry that you have to suffer through listening to me speak. I'm just kidding. One of the things that I think that's really fun as a parent is listening to your kids ask for stuff and then listening to their reasons for why they need that stuff. For instance, oftentimes, especially every morning, Liam and Olivia will inevitably ask for yogurt. And if for whatever reason, maybe we don't have yogurt in the refrigerator that particular day and we say no, Olivia will say, but I like it. I'm like, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you get to have it. But I need it. Well, you don't need it to survive. Or Liam will, every time we go to Walmart, ask for a new car. It's one, I don't know why we came up with this tradition, but we did. But every time we go to Walmart, usually Liam gets some little toy, but he always wants a car, another car. I'm not sure why he needs another car, but he's like, Daddy, I need this. I mean, you don't need to have a car. You can have a car, but you don't need it. I mean, it's a nice thing to have, but then the excuses, the reasons for it just make it awesome. But if I have this car, I'll be faster. I'll be able to clean my room faster. So the race car toy that's going to mess up your room is a need because it will help you clean your room faster. I don't understand the logic, but he's also five. So, I mean, you can really only expect so much out of five-year-old logic. Maybe you have a thing in your life that you're like, man, I really need this. And you don't really think through the process of, is it really a need that you have? You just think, man, I need this. Maybe it's internet. You need internet, right? Or you need Netflix and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus and Hulu has live sports. Because that's the things that I need in life. I need sports back. It's a need, right? Or maybe you've seen this particular commercial.
For the hard surfaces in your home, you need a one-step cleaning device that delivers a better clean. The Bissell CrossWave lets you vacuum and wash your floors at the same time, delivering a deeper everyday clean in less time. CrossWave washes your floors using a revolutionary cleaning solution, leaving your floors smelling fresh and looking clean. CrossWave's dual-action multi-surface brush roll uses microfiber to mop floors, while nylon bristles scrub and pick up debris. The Smart Clean Fingertip Controls lets you dispense just the right amount of formula for whichever floor you're cleaning. The two-tank technology lets you consistently clean with fresh solution while recovering dirty water and debris from your floors. Once finished, just pour out the dirty tank contents for quick cleanup. A convenient way to clean the product is using the Easy Clean storage tray, which allows you to clean the brush roll, window, and air path in a few simple steps. And for easy maintenance, the CrossWave includes an easy remove brush window and a removable brush roll for convenient cleaning. Ditch the mop and bucket. Vacuum and wash your hard floors at the same time with CrossWave from Bissell.
Now, for every one of you who has kids, your response to that is, I need that. Their need for yogurt and their need for juice and their need to play in the dirt causes me to need to clean it up. And so I need something just like that. And that's exactly what Rochelle told me. She said, Addison, we need this. I will keep the floors cleaner. And you know, my wife's not in this room. She's at home. She's watching online. Babe, I love you. And I am so glad that you're at home, because you cannot defend yourself in person. So much love to you, babe. But she said, we need this. This is a thing that we have to have, because we will keep the house cleaner. The floors will smell great. There won't be dust on the floor. There won't be nasty dried up yogurt underneath the table. We have to have this. And so what did we get? We got that. That exact one that you saw on the screen, actually. And then a few months later, we got dogs. We got dogs, and then she saw this commercial.
Hey, Jess.
Hi, welcome.
Good to see you.
Hi, Brody. Are you Steve?
Wow, this is a busy place.
Yep, I practically live with a vacuum in one hand and a mop in the other.
That's why the new Bissell Crossway Pet Pro vacuums and washes at the same time. And it's built with a tangle-free brush roll, so it's better than ever for homes with pets.
Amazing what it cleans.
It is.
She said, I'm allergic to dogs, and we need to get rid of all this dog hair that's in our house, so we have to have this. Well, guess what I'm not caving on? You know, as soon as I put my foot down and said we are not getting that, you know what we're going to have the next week? That. And every time my wife tells me about the newest Bissell vacuum and how it's the vacuum plus the hard floor plus the rug cleaner, 3-in-1, I ask myself, do I really need this? Is this a thing that I need? I must have this in order to survive. And today, this is exactly what we're going to talk about. Do I need this? We're going to look at redefining essential. And to do that, really what I want to do is go back and let's look at actually what does essential mean. And so we're going to look at the definition of essential. It says essential, it's a noun. It's a thing that is absolutely necessary. That's according to dictionary.com. And for those of you who say dictionary.com isn't the dictionary, I need to go to Webster. Well, the second one is actually from Webster. It says it's of utmost importance, basic and indispensable. Basic, obviously, being like the simplest need that you have, and indispensable meaning absolutely vital. If you don't have it, you absolutely need to have this thing, like your heart or blood. Those are things that you need to have. Those are absolutely vital. That's what indispensable is all about. And today we're going to look at a story in the Bible to look at what is an actual essential in our life, redefining what this actually means. And so we're going to look at a story that's found in multiple Gospels. And throughout the Gospels, there's like 18 moments that are captured in all four Gospels. These things are like monumental things that happen in all four Gospels. You're talking about Jesus' baptism and a lot of Passover and events leading up to his crucifixion. Super, super important things. Well, this story isn't one of them. This story is only found in three of the Gospels. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all capture this. I don't know what John was doing. Maybe it was his day off. Maybe he was out at the golf course. Maybe he had to use the restroom. I have absolutely no idea why John wasn't there and why he didn't think that this was important enough to capture. But to me, when I think about the basics of being a Christ follower and following Jesus with my whole heart, this is a passage that actually resonates very strongly with me. And this is found in Mark chapter 10. And for whatever it's worth, I think for every believer who's wondering or who actually is, you know, following Jesus, this is an essential passage for you to know. Mark chapter 10 is where we're going. Verse 17, it says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this dude must be desperate to walk up to Jesus and to begin the conversation with that. Like, oftentimes you begin conversations with, like, small talk, like, hey, how you doing? Or, how's life for you? Things going well? How's your family? Nope, this dude walks straight up to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus responds and he says, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. And this guy, he's like listening to basically Jesus cite off these 10 commandments that are really important. And he responds and says, teacher, I've obeyed these commandments since I was young. Like, this is the guy who said, yeah, I've gone to church since I was a kid. Yes, I understand the scriptures. I've read the Bible. And looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And when I read this verse, I think to myself, wow, Jesus, a little drastic, don't you think? Take a wealthy guy and tell him that he's got to sell everything that he has, give the money away, and that's the only way that he's going to make it to heaven. That seems a bit extreme to me. But I think Jesus, you know, he's sending this message, and that message is can you still trust me and hold on to everything? Hold it close to your vest. Can you still be a follower of me and keep all of your stuff close to you? Is that a thing that you can do? Stuff in our life is what makes life luxurious. It makes it more enjoyable. It makes it fun. But Jesus is saying stuff is not essential. Stuff isn't going to make your heart beat. Stuff isn't going to keep you alive. Stuff isn't essential. You don't need stuff to follow me. In fact, it's the opposite. The less you have, the more reliant on me you are. And Jesus is telling this very wealthy man, take everything you've got, give it away, then we're going to see if you're going to follow me. Then we're going to see if you really want to make it to heaven. And at this, the next verse, verse 22, at this, the man's face fell. And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them. But Jesus said again, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, you might be asking this question, well, Addison, I have money. I'm pretty well off. Does this mean that I'm not going to make it to heaven? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. And I don't think that Jesus is saying that. He's just saying it's hard. He's not saying it's impossible. He's saying it's hard. And I don't personally think that wealth keeps you out of heaven. But when you decide that you are not going to give that up, if Jesus asks you to, well, then you're talking about disobedience. Then you're talking about greed and not a heart of generosity. And I don't believe that Jesus is saying, you can keep all of your stuff in front of me and still make it to heaven. There's always something that we're afraid to let go of. There's that thing that's in our life. It's the stuff that seems to get in between me and our Savior, and that is what Jesus is saying. You have to be willing to let that go. It's when you're willing to let that go that trust in Jesus actually begins. It's going to be hard for us to make it into heaven if we've got stuff that we can't let go of. And this stuff might actually be material things. It really might. But what's standing in the way of Jesus in your life? Maybe he's going to ask you to give that up. Verse 26, it says, the disciples were astounded, and I would be too. If I were standing there and watching this, which is one of the reasons why I'm like, John, where you at? Where you at, John? How come this wasn't important enough? The only thing I can think of is he wasn't there, and I'm sad for him that he missed it. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible with God. I can't save myself. It's not a thing that I can do. There's not money, enough money in the world that can save me. There isn't enough power, enough stuff that's going to get me into heaven. But there is one person who can get me there. His name's Jesus. So these disciples are puzzled that a camel going through the eye of a needle is easier than a rich man getting to heaven. And Jesus says, yep, impossible. Can't happen. But with God, it is possible to make it to happen. And it's the one thing and the one thing only that helps us get to heaven, and it's grace. Grace is how we enter heaven. And if we think for a minute that we can do life and live life to the fullest without God's grace, then, you know, have fun here on earth, because that's where your wealth is going to run out. It takes an act of grace for us to make it. It's not something that I have. It's something that I can, it's not something I can do. It's something that He did for me on a cross thousands of years ago so that I can have a relationship with God. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin with having money and doing something with it. It begins with having faith in that one thing. And having enough faith in that one thing that I'm willing to give everything away for that. Is it worth it for you? Is it worth it for you to give up everything that you have so you can have that grace? And that's the question that Jesus is asking here. He's saying stuff isn't essential, but God, He is essential. And if we're going to take stuff and hold on to it and keep it and make that thing that's essential in our life become our essential, then the one thing that we're not really going to have is God. Because how can you have both? Scripture is pretty clear. You can't have two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Can't serve both God and money. So are you serving God or are you serving your stuff? Are you holding on to God or are you holding on to your stuff? We can't get to heaven without Him. We can't have peace without Him. We can't have true joy without God. In our lives today and forever, the one thing that we need more than a Bissell vacuum, more than the internet and Netflix and smartphones, more than the next coolest car or gadget, the one thing that we need in our life is God. And you might ask yourself, well, Addison, what if God's asking me to give Him something and I can't afford to give it to Him? Like, what if the bills won't get paid, or what if I won't have enough? Well, I'd say this is where faith kicks in, right? It wouldn't truly be faith if we didn't need to depend on God. So if we're saying that God is essential, then what we're saying is we need that to make life happen. I want to look at Matthew chapter 6. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if light is within you, then if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Then you look further down and you get in that same chapter. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink or your body, what you will wear, is life not more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. This is the Bible. This isn't Addison's words. This is what God's word says. Are you not much more valuable than them? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life. So why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then listen to this. You of little faith. I don't want to have little faith. I want to have a lot of faith. And if having little faith means, or if asking the questions, what will we eat, or what will we wear, what will we drink, if that is little faith, then I really need to posture my heart differently and ask different questions. Like, how can I serve you more, God? How can I take what I have and give more to you? He says, pagans aren't after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God's smart. He knows you need things to survive. And I don't think that by giving away things that we have and allowing God to use them is going to mean that God isn't going to provide for us. So I know that in this room there are several stories of people who have given tithes to God, who have given in offerings to God. And there have been situations where I know that you have given not necessarily out of abundance, but you've given from the need in your life. You said, I've given out of my grocery budget. I've given out of my rent payment to God. And my question is did God not meet that need? Did God not bless you in those times? Says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stuff isn't the essential in our life. And if God is asking you to give your stuff, he's posturing your heart for generosity. And when he postures your heart for generosity and you obey, he is not going to leave you hanging out to dry. Our God will provide. Because he's a big God. And he sees your need. And earlier, Pastor Greg talked about those of you who need a financial miracle. The question is, are you trusting God in that area of your life? Are you trusting God with your stuff? Are you holding on to it? Or are you trusting him with it? Are you saying, no, I can't give this to you? Or are you saying, God, you can have all of me because I want more of you because you are essential? These are the questions. Stuff is not essential, but God is. And when you look at the definition of essential, there's a couple of words that are in there. It says basic and indispensable. Survivalists will tell you that the basic necessities of life are food, water, shelter, right? Well, I'll share with you one more story, and this is also found in the Bible, and wanted, instead of just throwing John under the bus for the entire day, give him a little bit of credit for recording a really cool story. We're going to go to John chapter 4, and it says, Jesus, he knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize and his disciples did. So he left Judea and he returned to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria on the way. And eventually he came to a village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And so Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Now that's a really hot part of the day. I'd sit down too. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. And he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food, and the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And then this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals have enjoyed? And so Jesus is listening to this woman who has no faith in who it is, and she's asking these questions. How in the world can you have a better water than the life-sustaining water that we have in this well? So the basic need that Jesus had was there in the well, but the indispensable need that she had was God. And this is what Jesus is about to tell her about. Jesus says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling up spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. Yes, water is a basic necessity in life, but God is the indispensable, vital, life-giving need in our life. And today, to close, I want to tell you guys about something that I feel is very, very vital, and that is water. All over the world, there are people who are struggling to have clean water. And for all of our students who are in Velocity, almost every single week we've talked about our Speed the Light project. And Speed the Light in years past has generally gone towards buying a vehicle for a missionary, and then the missionaries take that vehicle and they go to remote parts of the world or, you know, do all this traveling so that they can present the gospel to people who have never heard it. And that is absolutely essential. It's essential as a person who was a missionary to have a vehicle like that. Super important. But this year, and I really do believe that this was a God-given purpose, a God-given theme even for the year for Speed the Light across the entire nation. They're calling it unconventional. That's our theme. And how many of you would say that this has been an unconventional year? So, back in November is when they came up with the theme for the year. This is before COVID, so you got to know that this is, you know, a God-birthed dream and vision for the leadership to come up with unconventional. But this year, another unconventional part of doing Speed the Light is that as a nation, we're not raising money for cars. Are there missionaries who still need cars? Absolutely. And are there people who are raising money for cars? Absolutely. And vehicles and promotional materials and sound equipment and all that stuff. Absolutely. And it's super important, very necessary. But this year, it's unconventional because as a nation, we're raising money for water wells. And you think, well, how is water wells going to speed up the gospel getting around the world? Well, and the places where they're digging these wells, they're also planting a church next to the well. And so usually what you need is the partnership of the national church. A pastor has been trained, normally by a missionary, or if the national church is strong enough, then they have their own Bible schools and are training pastors. But when a pastor is ready and God calls them to plant a church, they usually figure out, where can we dig a well, and then let's plant the church there. You might ask the question, why? Why would they be so specific in putting a pastor where they plant a well? Well, people walk on average 5 miles a day in Africa to get unclean water because it's the nearest water source. On average, a mom and her daughters will wake up as soon as the sun comes out, and they will begin their trek, walk 5 miles each direction, carrying an empty bucket there and heavy, full, like 20-gallon buckets on top of their head on the way back. And they do this every day so that their family has water, but that water is usually contaminated. It's not clean. So digging a water well provides a clean water source. And people from all over the place will come to this clean water source. And when they come to the clean water source to get the basic necessity of life, guess what's next to that water source? The church. The church that's been planted and that pastor who is there to give them the indispensable life-giving source of Jesus. And so all across the country, we've got youth groups who are raising money for stuff like that. And so far across Africa this year, there have been dozens and dozens of water wells that have been dug. And there's some incredible stories, but I wanted to share with you a little excerpt from, this is the Kenya director for WorldServe International, who we're partnering with to dig these wells. And it says, as the director of Kenya, he's talking about COVID and how COVID is affecting not just Kenya, but all of Africa with this regards. It says, as the world grapples with horrific realities of COVID-19, our wish for strength and persistence goes out to all humanity. We recognize the effect of the pandemic not only in the communities that we serve, but also on our partners who have so generously supported our work over the years. And in the past few weeks, the importance of clean water has surged into perspective. And we take solace in knowing that we are able to increase access to clean water, an essential global need. With hand washing emphasized as the most powerful weapon against COVID-19, the understanding that communities cannot rely on hand washing without a safe, sustainable water supply is now clearly understood. So imagine that your village suddenly is trying to become protected against COVID. And we know that you want to wash your hands every chance that you get, and we have clean water to do that. But if their water source is a contaminated, like feces-infested source of water, they're literally going to be cleaning their hands in dirty water and leaving other contaminants on it. This is where the clean water comes into place. It says, in Africa, as of this Thursday, there have been more than 400,000 confirmed cases in 52 countries and more than 12,000 confirmed deaths. It should be noted that Africa was one of the last regions to register a confirmed COVID case. So after America got COVID, almost last on the list was countries in Africa, which is crazy to me. And so, you know, they're several months behind on the curves that we have, and because of their lack of understanding and their lack of medical infrastructure, the effects of this is far worse than what it is looking like here in the United States, which is why having a strategic approach in Africa with digging these wells is becoming so vital. So why am I telling you about all this? Because it's going to take an unconventional act of generosity where we are willing to give up stuff to make a difference. And so I've been talking to you about stuff not being essential and how God is essential. Well, there are billions, not millions, billions of people on our planet who don't have access to clean water, but they also don't have access to the living water. And we want to do both. We want them to have clean water, but even more than that, we want them to have access to the living water of Jesus Christ. And our youth group this year has pledged to raise over $12,000 for Speed the Light. To date, I think we've raised over $5,700, which is absolutely fantastic, considering, you know, we have not, well, we didn't meet for several weeks, and we've had a limited group the few weeks that we've actually been meeting again, which, by the way, quick aside, this is ADHD running through my brain right now. If you just finished sixth grade and are moving into seventh grade this Wednesday, a little plug for you, but come to Velocity. We're going to have some fun. This particular week is going to be the first week that we're actually allowing incoming seventh graders to come. We've actually had some in the past, but we're making it official. We want you to come. And so I see a few of you that are in this room. I'm not going to say any names, but come this Wednesday. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Okay. But we're doing this thing where we want our students to have a heart for missions, to have a heart for giving, and our students have responded incredibly. And in this last month, the month of June, our students raised over $1,300 for Speed to Light. And so it's super fantastic. And through all of this COVID stuff, I think, Pastor Greg, you would agree that our church has been incredibly faithful with their giving. You guys are doing an incredible job all the way across the board. But because our church isn't able, or our youth group isn't able to do some of the fundraisers that we have in the past, and we haven't been able to meet as much, we're actually a little bit behind. So while we have $5,700 that we've raised, we're a bit behind, and we need your help. And so today, I want to ask you guys to, over the course of this month, do something unconventional. Give something unconventional. Knowing that stuff isn't essential for us, but our money might be essential for a family in Africa to have clean water so that they can survive, but also have access to the living water so they can have eternal life. And we can't do this by ourselves. We need your help. And so with all that said, today, I just want to ask you, over the course of this month, whatever you would normally give to missions, I want to ask you to give an excess of that, but give that excess to Speed the Light. If you would normally give to Kingdom Builders, I want you to give an excess to Speed the Light. We still need kingdom building funds to come in. I think that that's absolutely important for our church and for the ministry that we do here as a church. But if we are going to be a catalyst for spiritual transformation, not just here in Cabot, Central Arkansas, and around the world, we have to give in other areas as well, and we really need your help. So as we close today, I want to pray over you guys. I want to pray first that that our hearts would always be postured to be generous with our stuff. This does not mean that you can't have stuff. What this does mean that is, if God asks you to give it, that you're willing to let that go. And that you're willing to be dependent on God, who is the actual essential in your life. But I also want to pray over you that God would stretch you in the area of your giving, and that you would give in an unconventional way so that people all across the world could have access to Jesus and the hope that lies within him. Let's pray this morning. God, we love you. And we are so grateful for the blessings that you give to us each and every day. We understand that we in America, we're kind of spoiled. But we don't give you thanks enough for what we have in our lives. And today, we want to give everything that we have to you. If you ask for it all, Lord, we want our hearts to be in position to give all of that to you. Help us, God, to not hold on to stuff in a greedy way, but instead to be willing to give it so that your kingdom will come, your will be done. Help us, Lord, to be a part of advancing your kingdom. Help us, God, to posture our hearts with generosity, to be willing to give however you see fit, knowing that you are going to bless us. And even if you don't, God, we know that you are going to use whatever we give to advance your kingdom, and that makes it worth it. Help us, Lord, to be unconventional in our giving. Give us wisdom in how much we should give, and help us, Lord, to be confident knowing that we can give it. Not just confident in knowing that this is what you want us to give, but confident in knowing that we trust a God who is bigger than any need in our life. We trust a God who is bigger than any circumstance that we face. And even in this time of crisis, even in this time of uncertainty, we can trust that you're going to provide even when we give in an unconventional way. Lord, I pray that you would bless all of those that are in this room that choose to give, and even those that are watching online that are giving. Bless them. Bless them, Lord, and bless what they give to advance your kingdom. And we give you all the thanks and all the glory, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.